You are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast.
This is Remy Warren.
I am Rihanna Carey.
My name is Adam Foss.
This is Paul Tedford, professional archer.
Hey everyone, I'm Christy Titus, and you are listening to Archery Maniacs.
We cover everything archery, from the hunting side to the tournament side, with stories, tips and tactics, gear reviews, and more.
That helped my tuning game so much when I made sure that all my arrows were square.
And I'm staring into his eyes. Blood's dripping off of its tines. Mud is everywhere.
The clarity these mavens offer is amazing.
I'm just like Spider-Man, you know, on this rock. You know, just laying there.
Belly crawling in there, and I can barely fit in there, and I can hear the cat growling at me.
So I put my hand on his shoulder and pushed him, and we just ran at this elephant.
In this episode, I have Stephen and Courtney, founders of Elevation Fitness Training, on the podcast, and we discuss nutrition in your pack. It's a great podcast, jam-packed of information, and will hopefully help you be more energized and everything like that in the backcountry. I hope you enjoy the show.
My name's Stephen Dunn. I'm a co-owner and co-founder of Elevation Fitness Training, and I'm a lifelong hunter, athlete, lover of everything outdoors, and we're out here in Oregon hunting and fishing and raising two little boys and living life, man, having a great time.
And I'm Steven's co-owner and co-founder of Elevation Fitness Training, and we get to have an amazing job where we get to work with people from all over the country on their health and fitness goals, and really just get people feeling good, whether that be for, you know, running marathons or triathlons, or, you know, getting ready for a backcountry hunt or a hunt of a lifetime. So we really get to enjoy that. We work with some great people. We get to have a lot of fun with our two little guys and, you know, travel around and do some archery shoots and, just enjoy life and have fun and eat well and appreciate the good things.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I am super excited to have the both of you on the phone. Everyone that is listening, I'm your podcast host, Zach Harold. Today we are going to dive into the tips and tactics of nutrition in your backpack for living and hunting out of your backpack. So, I think nutrition, especially on a hunt, is arguably right next to having a good enough sleeping pad to get the rest you need. I think nutrition is one of the most important things that you can have on an extended hunt, especially. What is kind of your approach to getting started on what you need in your pack? And what are some of the steps that you've taken to refine that so that you're not just dumping a bunch of stuff in your pack and giving her hell?
Yeah, good question. So it's kind of evolution for us, just figuring out, you know, initially what works, and kind of depends on where we're going to be hunting, you know, whether it's going to be in the tree stand or if we're going to be on the ground, and then, you know, what terrain and elevation look like. But, you know, I'm kind of the food connoisseur. I make sure that, you know, our packs are ready to go with, you know, just whatever's going to sustain us for the day. We do a lot of snacky kind of stuff rather than, you know, stopping to eat, you know, or bust out the jet boil or anything. So, you know, we'll do a lot of prepared string cheese, mixed nuts, high fat nuts, almonds, macadamia nuts, Brazil nuts kind of things. Steven, it's kind of a tradition for him to have a PB&J sandwich with like triple the amount of like almond butter in it. So we kind of joke about that. That's a staple for us. I'm a string cheese and mixed nuts and jerky kind of person. So really just depends on exactly where we're going to be, but, you know, lots of available, quick, easy things. And, you know, some people don't care about, you know, the potency of the smell of, you know, whatever you're snacking on. But for me, I'm kind of like, I'm really particular when it comes to like noise or smells when I'm hunting, maybe a little bit too much. So I try to get things that aren't going to be, you know, super potent or things that we're going to be, you know, sweating out, you know, down the road.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So at you know, you mentioned something, you know, with you focus on stuff that have a little bit higher fat content. When it comes to your hunting trip, are you focusing more on like a ketogenic style plan so that your body is fueled more off of the fat intake, or do you guys take high carbs and high fat? Because obviously you're putting it out when you're covering that much country. What's kind of your approach as far as fat or carbs?
So in the past, we've really focused on just having a combination of both high carb and high fat. The fat is going to leave you more satiated than the carbohydrate will, but the carb is going to, for that kind of energy output, give you more of a more quickly delivered energy. So we've always done kind of a combination. We've switched our game up, though, a little bit since last hunting season. I've switched to doing 100% keto diet, and Steven's kind of eyeing it right now as something he might do. So next year, this year will probably change a little bit and focus on just doing the high fat because, you know, for somebody who's not keto adapted or used to that kind of thing, starting out and just saying, I'm going to take only high fat, you know, food items for the trip because I want to run on that, the fat system. It's not that simple. It's not just going to happen overnight. So I wouldn't recommend somebody just going, hey, for my backcountry, I'm going to go keto. So, you know, you need to work yourself into that before you just jump into it. So no, otherwise it might be not so fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, your body, when you have a high carbohydrate diet, your body craves that sugar, right? That those carbohydrates get changed into sugars in your blood and in your system. And so, you know, what happens is like when you give a kid candy, right? 30 minutes later, they either want more candy or they're angry, right? They're fired up or they're upset or they get frustrated or, you know, and even adults are the same way. So if you were to just, you know, kind of speaking on what Courtney said, if you were to just change and say, you know what, today I'm going to live on some eggs and avocados and a bunch of cheese. If you haven't done that for a while and adapted your body to it, you're gonna be pretty hangry.
Yeah, you're gonna hit a wall and be wishing you had something different.
Yeah.
You know, last year when we went on one of our longer trips over in Eastern Oregon, I've truthfully never had a mountain house in my life. I've only kind of heard things about them. So I decided that we would go to Cabela's and buy a 10 tray dehydrator, and I dehydrated all of our food for the trip. So we ended up doing like a bunch of like veggie bowls with quinoa and I can't remember what meat we did. I think we ended up doing some chicken, which is not, I'm not a super big fan of, but it was kind of an easier thing to do at the time. And then you can just do like a little, like tub of coconut oil. We have that by the pounds at our house. literally.
Yeah. We scoop it out with shovels.
So, you know, adding coconut oil in there for the healthy fat. He's not kidding. I mean, we pretty much do. It's kind of a thing of ours, but man, it feels good. I'm not a morning person at all. When he said that he scheduled this for 8:30 on Saturday morning, I kind of like backhanded him, but, so in the morning for my coffee, I do a tablespoon of butter, a tablespoon of coconut oil, MCT oil, and heavy cream. So I'm like about to start doing jumping jacks as we talk.
That's good. I can feel the excitement. My wife is actually, I tried keto and I didn't notice a huge difference personally. But I probably wasn't doing it completely the right way. I did notice at first that the switchover, like you're talking about, was horrendous because I eat literally all day, you know? So the switchover from snacking on like granola bars or, you know, eating four sandwiches or whatever else to eating string cheese and almonds and things like that was rough. But I did notice, just like you're saying, once I got switched over, then I was able to consume the fat and, you know, not straight fat, obviously, but we did much like you guys did. We started dehydrating our own meals. We actually bought some of like the powdered heavy cream and powdered cheese and things like that. So we made full blown keto meals like Mountain House does, except for they were, you know, 1 or 2 grams of carbs and very high in fat content. And when I was on keto, right, that was great. But as soon as I got off keto for a week or whatever, if I tried eating just that again when I was up in the mountains, it just destroyed me, just like you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a, you know, it's not like a stoplight. You can't, it's not like, it's not very switchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of those things. And I hear people say, you know what, let's have a cheat meal. And I'm more of the mindset of thinking, well, that's like saying today I'm going to hold a lighter to my hand because I haven't been doing that for a while, and I'm going to see if I like it. It's like, it's not a really good idea to ever do it, right? If you create this habit and you keep going with it in anything, in fitness and in nutrition and anything, you know, you want to stick with that, because there's no point in your gut flora, your GI tract, all that stuff. It doesn't say, you know what, today, go ahead and take a cheat meal. We're going to do everything completely different than what's, you know, biologically been blueprinted into your body. And just let us know when you're going to do it, and then we'll be ready for it, you know? So it's the same thing. You gotta kind of either stick to one or the other. And you definitely don't want to have all those high carbs with all that high fat, because that's when bad stuff happens. So.
And that's the thing. I have a lot of people say, well, I think I'm going to do the keto diet, or I've heard about the ketogenic diet. I think I'm, and I'm like, hold on, let's have a couple sessions of just talking about what that means first, because it's not like, you know, I'm going to go paleo today, or I'm going to, you know, some of those things that you can do, and your metabolic pathways don't have such a great effect that if you screw it up, it's going to have, you know, adverse effects. But if you go keto or try keto or whatever you want to call it, and then by the end of the day, you're eating a bowl of ice cream, you know, you're screwing things up big time. Now you've had a really high fat diet, and now you're, you know, have this huge insulin spike. It's just not good chemically for your body to do that. So, you know, I really encourage people, if you're wanting to do it, do some research, you know, read some books, figure it out, you know, ask questions and make sure that you're really prepared for it before you go all in with it. And once you do, commit to it. It can't be a bouncing around kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I noticed that exact same thing. Because I've never paid attention. I just ate whatever I wanted. So when I switched over to the keto, you know, it's all of a sudden goes from whatever I want, I don't really care, to I need to look and see what has carbs and what's high in fat. I had no idea that everything under the sun was that high in carbs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the American diet, you know, unfortunately. And the other misconception I hear a lot of folks, you know, and mom, I love you. But, you know, my mom is one of those people that she's, you know, very highly educated. She's extremely intelligent. She's, you know, a loving, giving person. But sometimes those loving, giving things are like, here's more biscuits and gravy. And how about some donuts? And
I love biscuits, you know, and gravy too.
I love donuts. I really
I love
bowls. Donuts.
So,
right? Yeah. So, you know, she would, I remember growing up, she would always be like, well, I'm going to try this diet, or I'm on a diet. I'm going to do this diet. And I think what's important, without, you know, pushing it too hard, is anything that you put in your mouth that you're chomping on, you know, filling your face with, is a diet. The food that you eat is your diet, right? It's not like ABC on the left-hand side of the table is a diet and the stuff on the right is food. It's all right. It all has its dietary, issues and components and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's one of the biggest, well, I'm on this A to Z Tuesday and Thursday diet that I found on Pinterest a couple of days ago. And I'm, you know, it's like, what are you doing to go? It's the same thing we do with all of our fitness programming. What is it trying to achieve in your life? Because that's how we're going to train you, right? That's how we're going to program. It's not, you know, curls for the girls are going to help you drag that elk quarter up the hill. So it's very, you know, it's very event specific. It's a lifestyle. It's one of those things that you just say, when I put my boots on, I lace them up the same way every time. Right.
So with taking, you know, you'd mentioned that you're taking snacks and things like that to basically eat throughout the day. At what point do you guys, you know, as far as length of stay, do you transfer from just having snacks throughout the day to, okay, we're going to be there long enough that we need to eat one or two solid meals along with those snacks per day?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think by when she said snacks, so what we did was for probably a week before, I was working a lot. She was actually the food, the camping and hunting food dehydration queen, you know, hit and run kind of deals, but blown, you know, chicken, you know, and she dehydrated a ton of vegetables. So we had these prepackaged meals, you know, and she wrote on what exactly it was and how much water to add. And, you know, we could just go to the jet boil on the side of the hill somewhere upwind of whatever we were, wherever we were at, you know, cause we were back, we were off the grid quite a ways. And, you know, we'd have a meal and it would only take, you know, on average 2.5 or 3 cups to get both meals completely done. And that was juice to go for several more hours, you know. And when we were back at camp, you know, at the end of each day, we still had, you know, a giant cooler full of food, but a lot of that stuff was prepackaged. It was labeled, you know, with instructions on it. And she even put cool little sayings on it, you know, like hunt hungry or don't hunt at all, or, you know, this is going to be the tagged out meal, or there's all kinds of fun stuff, you know, because when at the end of the day, when your feet are cold and you're miserable and you're pissed off because you got within, you know, 50 yards of some giant screaming bull, and you know, it is what it is. And it was fun to have these, you know, even little enlightening things as far as sayings written on your food packs. That was good. But you know, a lot of the little snacky kind of things were still dehydrated meals, or were something that, you know, she put together that wasn't prepackaged, you know, it wasn't processed.
I did bags of oatmeal with like slivered almonds and a scoop of Wilderness Athlete paleo-ish protein, so that all we had to do was right in the bag, just add some water. And I'm not saying that that's the best way to go, to, you know, to heat up the food in the bag, but it worked for us. It was really easy and convenient. We didn't have to take a bunch of extra weight with things. So it was pretty nice. And it was kind of fun. Like he said, it was kind of something we got to look forward to. And when we were back there and just freezing cold, holding that nice hot bag of, oh, you know, yeah, oatmeal was really nice.
Oh my God.
It was fun. I'll do it a little bit different this year. You know, we'll add a little bit more variety. We kind of did the same, you know, few meals, and we just kind of repeated those, which I'm not a picky eater at all. So I don't have an issue with that. Some people, you know, like to have something different every time or avoid leftovers or whatever. But for me, that just, it makes things more efficient and easier to prepare.
Yeah, for sure. I had no problem repeating that either. Neither one of us are picky eaters, which is funny because our youngest is the pickiest little human that you've ever met, ever. What's in that?
He'll like get his food and he'll smell it. He'll go, man, I don't think I'm gonna like that.
But he'll eat sardines out of the can. He's such a little weirdo like that. Or he's like, is that, you know, any game meat, anything, any game meat at all, he's on it. He eats it like a wood chipper, you know, the shrapnel all out there. I'm serious, man. It's like, yeah, it's funny and all, but it's true. And you could give him, like, you know, we typically don't feed our kids a bunch of cereal and stuff like that, but every now and then they're like, we want some freaking cereal, you know. But if it's got, like, he'll eat handful of nuts, but if the cereal has nuts in it, he's like, I'm not eating that shit. I'm not doing that. Come on,
hell
man.
No.
You know, like, or almond milk. That's the other thing. So typically what I'll do is I'll get up really early in the morning because I'm just a morning person, and I like to get up and I like to make, you know, Court and I coffee, and I'll make the boys love pancakes. So I always make them gluten-free pancakes, and I'll put like a little bit of protein powder in there, whatever, and I slather peanut butter all over them, and it's our morning thing, you know. It's fun. But man, I'll tell you what, dude, if I give him a freaking cup of almond milk, he doesn't even have to smell or taste it. He looks at it, he's so dialed into that stuff, he's like, what kind of milk is that? Like, that regular milk? I'm like, dude, you're 8. What, you know, we're keeping you alive.
Drink the damn milk.
Is that real milk? That's what it says. Yeah. Drink the milk now or go outside.
That actually brings up kind of an interesting topic as far as, you know, liquids when you go hunting. Are you, do you guys take basically just water, or are you taking stuff where you're adding, you know, like electrolytes and things like that? Like, what all are you taking as far as your liquids go?
Definitely not just doing water. Steven's kind of, he gets crampy if he doesn't replace electrolytes. I typically do okay and regulate all right, but we do the Wilderness Athlete Rehydrate and Recover. So we'll typically just do that once a day, kind of midday. We'll stop and have some of that. And outside of that, yeah, we just do water, hydrate and recover, and you know, keep the fluids coming in. I have to remind myself to drink water, because especially if it's a cold hunt, I don't want to drink water. You know, it doesn't taste very good to me, but also it's kind of hard to stop and unpack everything and, you know, find a tree. So, I have to push water a little bit more than he does, but if we don't replace those electrolytes, we kind of struggle out there. So.
Gotcha. I've noticed the exact same thing. If it's cooler temperatures that I'm hunting in, I have to tell myself to drink the water. Cause on not even temperatures, when it's that, I hunted, 2016, I hunted for 3 days. I made 3 liters last.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Which isn't, and I'm not like saying that, you know, to toot my horn, because I don't think that's healthy. I know it's not healthy.
No,
but,
it's not.
But I was not, I wasn't mentally telling myself drink water because I didn't feel thirsty. You know, it was 60 to 75 degrees, you know, not a temperature where I was sweating a ton or anything like that. And I just never felt that thirsty. And so I completely agree with that.
We definitely have to kind of be accountability buddies on that one, because I'm the same way, like maybe even worse. Like I'll get back with my 2 liters and I've had just a couple sips out of it. So, you know, I'm really good at reminding Steven, okay, how much water have you drank? How much water do you have left? And, you know, that kind of reminds me too, okay, I need to push some water in. And, you know, even though you're not out there sweating, your body's using it up, you know, so it doesn't, it's not just, you know, the sweating that, you know, where your body loses water, although that's one pathway for it. But if you're not drinking water, you're going to feel it. It's going to add up. And, you know, that's when situations become not favorable.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a water drinking fool, and, you know, I have a 3 liter hydration pack. And, you know, I remember elk hunts several years ago where it's, you know, 2 or 3 degrees or below zero. And I actually would take that. I have a really thick, can't even remember the brand of it. Anyway, I'd pump them if I could, because this thing is bulletproof. But a 3 liter hydration pack, and I would actually strap a couple hand warmers to it, because it was so cold. And I'm not a fan of, I don't put ice in my water. I don't, you know, I had several of my, yeah. Well, it's just, so, you know, to train in Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a long time, being in Brazil, they don't put ice, a lot of the, like the hardcore Brazilian athletes, they don't put ice in their water because it constricts your esophagus. And so if you need to stop training to get a drink of water and you go back to training and you've got this person crawling all over you trying to, you know, trying to get the best of you, it's hard to breathe. Yeah. So I remember one time giving Helsing Gracie a glass of ice water, and he looked at me and he's like, "What are you trying to do to me, brother?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Never, don't drink ice with water, or don't drink water with ice in it. You know, just have room temperature or warmer." And he says, "Watch how much you can drink and how good it feels in your stomach." And so I started trying that, and I actually remember getting these you know, adhesive backed. Maybe they were toe warmers. I think they were toe warmers because they would stick to your sock. And I put 2 of those on there and just had, you know, one, it kept it from freezing. And 2, it was just kind of like a room temperature water at, you know, in a 2 or 3 degree temp hunting scenario. And it just, man, it kept me warm, to be honest with you. It was really nice.
It's amazing how much a warm liquid will warm everything up from your inside out. with you guys take coffee and drink coffee in the morning? I know you're both coffee drinkers, but some people still don't take it in the backcountry. Is that something that you guys take in the backcountry?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just got turned on to that. It's the Four Sigmatic. It's like the mushroom elixir coffee. And it's like an instant, it's just a little packet of it and you can pour it into hot water. I like it. Steven, he's kind of a coffee snob. I can, if it's warm and it resembles coffee, I like it. So, yeah, those are kind of fun to do, but yeah, we always have coffee. We always have coffee.
I've drank half a gallon since we started this podcast.
That is awesome. Well, perfect. Well, as far as when it comes time, you know, to start planning your meals out, Courtney, are you focusing on trying to hit, you know, a certain grams of fat, a certain grams of protein, a certain caloric intake? Are you trying to hit a certain number every day, or are you just trying to max it out as far as this is what we want to take and not be too much weight to take? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So what I did last year is I wrote out a menu for every day for us. So I would put in, you know, even if it was going to be in a different order, I wanted to put in exactly what we were going to be having every day. Because if you just go, okay, here's a general list and a plan, you're going to miss, you know, or you have the potential to miss meals and go, crap, I'm all the way back here and I don't have a snack today, or I don't have a lunch today or something. So I actually wrote out a menu for us, for both of us, and did it that way. I've never been a calorie counter per se. Since switching to keto, I have started logging things just to make sure that I'm staying under, you know, 7% with my carbohydrates, but not necessarily for the backcountry, because we have a pretty good idea of what our food looks like. But for people who don't necessarily know, like you were saying, you know, you were surprised at, you know, how many carbohydrates are in everything, you know. So for people who might not have a very good understanding of what food and what calories they're eating, it might be good to, you know, to actually input recipes and to be able to, you know, figure them out that way. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily do that. I can, like I said, just figure out a pretty good idea of, you know, what the protein intake is we're getting and how many carbs we're having and if it's going to sustain us for being out there. And I try to always pack a little bit heavier meals calorically. So like I said, we'll do a little bit of like a tub of coconut oil, you know, like a small Tupperware or something, so that we can add that fat in there and just boost the calorie content.
Gotcha. So,
and the nice thing about adding that.
No, go ahead. I didn't.
Now I'm starving. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
I agree. I'm starving too. Keep going, Courtney. I didn't mean to cut you off. There was a slight pause and it just, yeah,
oh,
you were done. So sorry about that.
That's okay. I was pretty close to being done. I was just going to say, you know, the nice thing about taking that extra fat out there too, is that you're going to be satisfied longer. So, you know, you never want to, not that, you know, a bugling bull is going to stop you and you're going, oh, I'm hungry and I need to stop. If you're doing that, you probably should be hunting, but, you know, you're going to be satisfied longer. So you're going to be able to continue to push up the mountain or down the mountain or follow the herd or whatever you need to do and not be feeling like, okay, I'm shaky, I'm hungry, I can't think, I need to stop. You're going to have a longer lasting satiety with that. So that's a good place to add in some calories.
Gotcha. Now, kind of two questions here, so I'll just ask one at first. I had heard somebody talking about like protein bars and the protein intake, and they said something about taking, when you're on a hunt like that, taking a protein bar that is just super high in protein but not much else, really isn't all that beneficial for you. And I'm not 100% sure as to why that wouldn't be or why it would be. So what's kind of your input on taking things like protein bars that are just, you know, 26 to 36 grams of protein? And some of them, like the Kirkland bars, for instance, that we have, I think they have 2 grams of carbs, but they just have a ton of protein. So is something like that a good idea to take, or is that too much protein for your system at once when you're exerting that much energy?
It really depends on the individual and their composition. You know, if you know, Steven's 6'5 and two something, and
like 270 at least.
And I'm, you know, I'm 5'10 and 150 something. So I don't need the same protein that he does. So, you know, if we're somewhere and we're really pounding hard, if we're sitting in a tree stand, no, we definitely don't need that. If we're sitting in a blind or if we're not doing a whole lot, then we don't need to replenish that. But if you're out there on a long hunt and you're working for it, you're going up, you're going down, your body's getting sore, your muscles are being broke down, then sure, yeah, you need to replace that so that you can, you know, not be miserable, so that you can replenish what's being taken out of the muscles.
Gotcha.
I do though think that there is a overabundance of, you know, protein. People are protein shake for breakfast and then protein for lunch and a big steak for dinner and, you know, yeah, a protein bar here and there. And it's, you know, our extra protein turns into sugar. So the body doesn't just, it's not like the more protein, the better. It does need to be regulated because your body can only store so much. And once that happens, but you know, it turns to fat. It doesn't matter what the calorie is. If your body doesn't need it, it's going to be stored.
Yep.
So it's not necessary for everybody. And I don't think it's something that you would necessarily need to do every day. But, you know, for a bigger person who's really working hard, who, you know, might have a lighter protein, you know, lunch or dinner, it could be good and beneficial to replenish with a higher protein bar.
Gotcha. And so with that, obviously it depends, like you said, on body size, but is there kind of a percentage of protein that you should shoot for?
Typically, you know, we kind of, Steven more specifically, when he's working, he'll go for about a gram per pound of body weight. If he's training really, really, really hard, it'll be a little bit higher. I don't go that high. I'm down closer to like maybe 0.6 per gram of or per pound of body weight. But, you know, again, everybody's different. It depends on your composition. It depends on how hard you're working. But kind of a more general guideline is about a gram per body pound per body
gotcha.
Weight.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's such a misconception, especially amongst men, that you know, more is better. More is better, you know, and it's more power. And it's, you know, this isn't an engine. It's not money. It's not something that you would, excuse me, naturally associate with more being better. There's a lot of research and studies showing us that, you know, an excess amount of protein can actually cause free radicals and can be associated with cancer. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. So I think, you know, prior to going, okay, well, I'm going to get fill in the blank protein and I'm working out 4 days a week or 3 days a week or whatever it is. And I need to have 50 grams of protein per serving. It's like, well, your body probably isn't going to want to accept all of that. One, two, you're going to shock it. Three, you know, the little bit that you do need, probably I would say 20 to 25 grams per serving. Everything else, like she said, is just going to go to fat. It's going to be wasted and stored and not the good parts of your body. So, you know, that's a pretty big misconception.
And it's expensive. I mean, yeah, you know, people are thinking that they're, you know, spending their hard earned money on something that they really need. And sometimes they really don't. So it's good just to be aware of what your body requires and being really in tune with, you know, what certain nutrients and macronutrient levels, you know, feel like.
I gotcha. That's super interesting to me because like I told you, I've never looked into all of it because I never had to, you know, I just would eat and just go, right, you know, and I just was like, man, there's got to be a way that I can feel more awake more often or not feel drained for, you know, 4 hours,
yeah,
in the middle of the day.
Right.
There's got to be a way to do it more consistently. And that's when I was like, I'm going to have to start tracking it and learn how to do this. Because that's the,
yeah,
best feeling in the world.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's so many
back country and you come over this hill and you're starting to feel drained and you look over on the next hillside and there's an animal that you really want to pursue, but you feel drained and you're like, great, now what?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many professionals out there too that you can just reach out to. And specifically, you know, in today's social media driven world, just, you know, drop a line. We're even, you know, we answer questions like that all day long, but there's a lot of people that have that knowledge that have spent the you know, the months and years in school and learned it and perfected it, not only, you know, in the books, but out in those, you know, boots against the ground scenarios. There's a lot of tells too. Your body will tell you, you know, whether it's, you might be a little crampy or you're gassy or you're, you know, you
have a headache.
You have a headache, yeah, or any of that kind of stuff. You know, when you're putting extra in your body, it's also causing all those internal parts of your systems to work more, right? So we don't always want that to be the case. If your body, you know, like when you shiver, when you're really cold and you know, like you get in specifically like really cold water and you get out, you tend to shiver. You see kids shivering. That's your body, you know, basically putting your muscles into this quick contracting scenario to warm you up. Well, that takes a lot of calories, right? So imagine if your internal organs were doing the same thing, trying to process all this extra, you know, you're burning these calories that you're not even aware of as you're burning calories that you are aware of, you know? So it's like kind of doubling up. So your body will also tell you and respond to certain foods and nutrition and that kind of stuff. And if you pay attention to those signs rather than like, oh man, my buddy's, you know, he's the smelliest one in camp. It's like, okay, well, let's look at his diet.
Yeah,
you know,
must be wrong.
And not to say that I haven't been that person, you know, it's just dialing in, listening to your body and putting a little science to it, you know, will go a long ways.
With like getting foods that are more keto friendly, you had mentioned something about like cheese and nuts and stuff like that. I love string cheese. I absolutely love it. But also on the package, it says do not eat after it's been not refrigerated for, it's super short, like 8 hours or something, 6 hours. And I've eaten that stuff 3 days later, not being refrigerated. But what's kind of your guys' thoughts on taking stuff like cheese and things like that, that most people would be really worried about it needing to be refrigerated, you know, prior to eating?
This question needs a disclaimer. I can't recommend anybody eat something that, you know, says it's expired, but honestly, my favorite way, I don't even like cold string cheese. If
right?
It's sat for a few days and it's warm and kind of mushy, that's when it's my favorite.
Me
so,
too.
And maybe if I know I'm going to eat it, I might put it in like a warm pocket for a while. So then I can eat it. It'll be warm. But, the only
is turns into like a go-gurt or something.
That's pretty gross. Like saying that out loud makes me feel kind of bad about myself. But no, it's really good warm. For some reason, it's just kind of mushy, and I don't know. It's oddly yummy. I don't know that I would do that with a yogurt or something, but definitely with string cheese or sliced cheese, I have no issues with that. And you know, it gets cold at night for us too. So
I'm so glad that I'm not the only one that likes it warm and mushy, because I thought I was weird.
Yeah, dude, I don't want my string cheese to be able to be used as a drumstick either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's certain things that I like cold, and string cheese isn't one of those things.
No.
And, you know, if I could have if they would just make one about the size of my forearm, from like my elbow to my wrist, that I could just peel layers off of, that'd be perfect.
Okay, so here's the other thing, Zach. Do you actually peel it like string cheese, or do you just eat it like, you know, take bites of it?
Yeah, are you a
it?
Biter? You like bite it off like a carrot?
Hold on, before you answer, we're about to judge you, so yeah. Think carefully.
So it honestly, I do a little bit of both. Sometimes I'll bite like halfway and then peel it, and then if I'm super hungry, I just chomp down on it and swallow it basically whole.
Okay, I'm gonna need a little bit more accurate percentage of how you do that. So like, are you doing that about 70% of the time, or?
I would say that I probably bite it and just chomp down and eat it probably 73.2% of the time.
Perfect. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll continue the podcast.
Good. You've passed the test.
You guys must be chompers too.
It's a hunger thing. It's like, okay, for one, is it cold or is it warm? If it's warm, I'm more likely to peel it. And if it's cold, I'm more likely to bite it. But if I'm hungry, I pretty much just, it goes in. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Funny. So, and it's funny, like if it's semi-warm, I'll take it and then like savor it in my mouth if I'm not super starving, because I'm just like, it tastes so good.
How do you do that? How can you even do that?
I don't know.
How do you save it like that? I don't.
It turns it into mush.
Yeah, I don't. That's not a skill. That's not a skill. I'll try it, but that's not a skill that I don't think I've ever done.
So Steven eats these mints like he got this habit from my dad, and he eats them like crazy. Like every 5 minutes, he pops this mint in his mouth, and he goes, "Okay, I'm not gonna bite this one." And he'll throw it in his mouth, and like 2 minutes later, he's like, "Damn it!" And I'm like, "You bit the mint, didn't you?"
I don't know why. It's like this involuntary like mint Tourette's that I get. It's the same tooth. It's never your front teeth, right? It's like the same tooth. I don't know if I kind of cycle it around in my mouth in a spot or whatever, and maybe I don't know, because it's never like a. It's a very involuntary bite.
Right.
But yeah, that's a little.
I force my, some like, insight if I eat sunflower seeds,
for you.
Yeah, if I eat sunflower seeds, I force myself to crack the seed on one side and then chew it on the other, and then the next handful switch it up, crack it on the other side and then chew it on the other side. I don't know why, but like I forced myself to rotate. I don't know if I'm trying to like work on my left and right, but I don't even know where that goes or where that comes from, but for whatever reason I do that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird
things. Yeah, you don't want all those molars, you know, ground down on one side.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're on the same page. So with with you guys being much more serious about the keto that for this upcoming hunting season, what is, you know, what's maybe one of your guys' days gonna look like as far as. And I don't mean like a single day. You know, I think that's kind of unfair, because I think you can take a lot different stuff if you're going on a day hunt than if you're going on a 6 day hunt, obviously. So what is an average day going to look for you guys on one of your extended hunts as far as your recipes are going to go for you?
I'm so glad you asked this, because I'm just going to, you know, this is obviously more Courtney's realm because she's an expert on the field, but I've been pre-planning this answer for this question, Zach.
Cool.
So I've got it pictured. I have a, you know, I run a Kafaro Reckoning, right? For it's a big old pack, but I can do anything I want with it. And then both
yesterday,
dude,
they're awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to you, Snyder. You're still making the best packs in the world.
I just was talking with him yesterday. I don't mean to cut you off. But now I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you just super quick? So I walked in there to see Aaron.
Everybody's got a Snyder story,
right? And he's like, well, what, you want the Reckoning? I said, yeah, that sounds good. And we go over, and he's like, do you need anything else? And I was like, you know, whatever needs to come with the pack, just to put it on. And he's like, well, you're going to need some clips. And he just starts grabbing handfuls of clips and throwing it in the packs. And there's shoulder straps and waist belt and all this stuff. And he just like starts grabbing them, throwing them in there. And I'm looking in the pack. I was like, that looks like I have way too many clips. But he's like, well, you're going to need extra clips just in case. I said, well, thanks, man. I know you don't know me from Adam, but I really appreciate it. It was just awesome. So anyways, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said Reckoning, I just had to tell you that story.
No, yeah, that's what you get with it, man. That's just what you get. And it's the same thing. We were on a very fun hunt with Courtney's family last year. We weren't even hunting. We were just the pack mules, and we were packing out a cow that her cousin shot in his 14th birthday, which was pretty awesome. And I was having trouble with the load lifters, you know, dropping the shelf, the meat shelf, and trying to figure all that out. So I sent him a picture, and he laughed at me, and he's like, ha ha, you're doing it wrong. Call me. But one, he was available for me, but it was just enough to make fun of me and then to tell me how to do it right, right? Which is super funny. But
exactly. He's an awesome guy. And the nice thing about him is he'll always make sure that you're set up. It's like, you know, he's like, I don't even care if you're running a Kafaru. I just want to make sure that you're doing it right to where you're going to get the most benefit out of your pack. And, you know, that you're not looking like a goofball with things, you know, all compressed down the wrong way. So he's a great resource for reaching out. And obviously, we love their packs and have not been able to do any damage to them. They are just indestructible. So,
dude, indestructible. Yeah, for sure. It's anyway. So my plan is to, with that reckoning is with both of my, with both my waist belt pouches, is probably the left one will be full of cooked bacon and the right one will be full of coconut oil. And I'll just dip one into the other. That's my plan.
Oh, God.
Dipping bacon into coconut. I've never even tried that. Is this amazing?
No, we've not done that.
That's we haven't, but true. I can imagine it's going
to
be awesome.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah.
But if food was left up to him, it might happen.
I'm just going to pull a little radio wagon behind me full of coconut oil and bacon and almond butter.
So apparently we're bear hunting at the same time.
That's right. We're chumming for bear.
You might as well. Like...
Yeah. No, but yeah. Good. Courtney's the wizard on that, so I'll turn that over to her.
Perfect.
Whenever you guys are done here.
I have more to say.
Story of my life.
Right.
Anyway. The only time he doesn't talk is when we're coming home from a 5-day show and he's like, you know, deer in the headlights, which is,
Or I lose my voice and she's so happy.
Okay, here we go. So, yeah, I guess as far as food goes, we'll probably do the four sigmatic, mushroom coffee. It's just got a lot of really good immune boosters, which is always good when you're in the backcountry. And then, like I said, coconut oil is our friend. So we'll take a bunch of that. That'll get us through. I don't typically eat breakfast anymore. Steven is, he's usually eating by the time his eyes open. So I'm like, literally, you're 1 foot out of bed. Like, did you bring a snack to bed with you last night or what? It's crazy. But, so we'll do that. And then we'll do a lot of coconut oil and then probably a string cheese and some, we do every other day, Brazilian nuts. The Brazil nuts have a lot of selenium in them, which is good to add that in. Then for lunch, we'll probably do some sort of a dehydrated, broccoli veggie kind of mix with, whatever our protein's going to be. And then more coconut oil, and that we'll just take on the side. Obviously, we're not going to add that into our dehydrated food, but we'll do like the powdered cheeses and stuff just to get the calorie content up. And then I'm probably going to play around with a few different dehydrated meats this year. Last year, we stuck to chicken and steak. And it was okay. The steak was all right. The chicken obviously came out a little bit better than the steak did. So I'll have to play around with that. And then we'll probably do something similar to what we did last year with the quinoa and veggies. I won't do the quinoa, because of, you know, cause I'm sticking away from carbohydrates. So I'll stick with leafy green vegetables, which I really like anyways. And then he'll probably do a little bit higher carbohydrate, just because his body's running better that way right now. So that's kind of our plan. And, you know, we'll do the snacks in between and, trying to figure out a good breakfast go-to. I know there's like powdered eggs and stuff you can do, but I'm not sure if that's even something that I can wrap my mind around. That just seems kind of crazy. So, but we keep it simple and I'll just keep each meal, you know, I like to add as many calories as possible. I was making a shake the other night cause I just got busy with work and, you know, everybody had dinner and I didn't. And so I'm like making this shake in the kitchen and I'm trying to put as many calories as I can in it. And I've kind of laughed to myself. I'm like, so many people are like, how do I make this taste good without any calories? And I'm trying to, you know, like, can I hit 600 calories in this shake?
Right. Right. Yeah. One thing I learned, because we did the dehydrating journey last year too, is if you cook like a deer roast and then you spread, you know, you tear the roast apart and then put that on the dehydrator, mm-hmm. it dehydrates quicker and rehydrates a lot quicker than opposed to cutting small chunks of steak. We found that the steak kind of rehydrated, but it was kind of chewy.
That's what we found with the steak too. If you can make it like smaller, like shredded meat instead, it does a lot better job. And then when you rehydrate it, you're not like chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. And I think it processes a lot easier through the system that way as well.
Unless you're like a beef flavored gum lover, then you can do it that way.
A beef flavored
gum. No.
I mean, I don't even know if you can buy beef flavored gum, so.
With your veggies that you're talking about taking, are you dehydrating those before you take them, or are you trying to take any of them in?
Yep.
You are? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, dehydrating all of them. It saves weight.
Yeah, for sure. We found that mushrooms and green onions dehydrated like extremely well. Mushrooms far above everything else. Like, it was insane.
I love mushrooms, but Steven just threw up in his mouth when you said that. So I might have to do some of those for me. He is not a mushroom guy at all. So
fair enough. Fair. I probably just
I've been
some brownie points gained from the string cheese.
No, you're okay. That string cheese was so strong that I just bypassed the mushroom thing. And I'm on like level 7. of ninja skills when it comes to just picking mushrooms out of stuff, so that doesn't even really bother me that much anymore. For some reason, the first 23 years of my life, my mom just forgot that I didn't like mushrooms because everyone else did. Like I said, I would just make a game out of it. I'd make like Lincoln Log mushroom homes on the side of my plate and stuff.
Yeah. Lovely mushrooms. It wasn't really until recently that I actually started liking mushrooms. And I'm not like eating mushrooms raw or anything because that freaks me out a little. But if they're cooked into something, you know, like sauteed with onions on a hamburger, then it's okay. But
that's a little more, yeah. You know, and one thing that I do like, though, I like to go pick chanterelles, and I will eat some chanterelles, you know, seared up with some butter and some garlic, and you know, now you're talking, but just a slimy old mushroom on a, you know, anything? No, thanks.
All right, so final question.
I don't know why.
If you guys had to pick one piece of food/nutrition in your bag for archery hunt, one, and that's it, what would you have in there?
Okay, before we answer this,
avocados.
Now you're saying one item of food or one meal?
One item of food. Like if you even had to pick one thing, you know, it even if it's a 6-day hunt, but you had to eat the same damn thing every single meal, every snack, what would you pick?
Can we bring like salt and stuff with us too? Or is it...
Gosh, listen to this guy.
Question. Do you see what I deal with?
One thing of salt and one package of Parmesan cheese. I'm going to up the ante.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I would definitely go avocados. Yeah. You throw Parmesan cheese and some salt on it. One packet, though, huh? You'd have to really ration that salt. How much Parmesan cheese, though? I mean, come on.
You guys would seriously both pick avocados, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, energy, calories, and fat content.
If you're looking at how it tastes and it's delicious, then yes.
Yeah. Avocado. And if you're not, then you're wrong. So.
So, and as far as with avocados. Go ahead.
I was just saying, if I could take avocados and he could take string cheese, and then we could have a party.
We'd have Parmesan cheese also, though, and some salt because he said we could.
Yeah. Anyway.
We'll
have to figure this out before
hunting. Come hunt Wyoming, like for real. That would be a ton of fun. So since I asked that question, you guys said both said avocados. how are you keeping the do you currently take avocados, number one? And number two, how do you keep them from just getting mushed completely in your backpack?
We're not taking avocados. No, we don't. We don't take them with us hunting. But you were asking a hypothetical question.
That's
so
true. Okay. Yeah. It was completely hypothetical, but I was like, man, if you guys are taking avocados, how in the hell are you doing that?
Well, typically what we like to do is we put them on a saddle pack on our unicorn, and then we will ride the unicorn back deep into the woods.
Yeah.
No, buddy. We'll take them for camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We'll take them for camp, but, you know, typically, no, not, you know, we won't put them in the pack.
Gotcha.
So it's a good peer post, but, you know, I've been a peanut butter, almond butter lover my whole life. You know, I think, and I'm steering a lot more towards almond butter the last couple years. And, you know, I get out this, it's got a nice, you know, sodium and fat content. So that's something that I really enjoy. And like, you know, we were joking about string cheese, but man, string cheese, Gouda, anything like that, something that's going to give me a lot of, I don't want that glycogen crash, right? Once I burn all that and I'm, you know, I don't mind hunting hungry and hiking hungry, but I also know that if I shove my body full of fat, I can go a lot farther. I don't feel like I need to drink as much water as often. You know, and like Courtney was saying, as I get older, I get a little crampy, you know, a little more crampy. I've even in the past taken like Pedialyte with me, but the problem is it smells like, you know, it's like, hey, we're over here. it's so much fragrance to it. And if you get the unflavored kind, it's like drinking peroxide. So,
gotcha.
You know, it's really just about keeping your body going. And I think if we found a way to take avocados, that'd be a really good choice, you know? But yeah, cheese, almond butter, anything like that, something that you can, I think Courtney even mentioned earlier, we like to if there's anything packaged, we like to unpackage it and make it as quiet as humanly possible. There's one thing to have the right food, but you know, if you've got some kind of crinkly, you know, paper making a ton of noise and you're, you know, and every animal out there's like, what the hell is that? You know, is that a bag of Doritos?
Yeah.
It's you know, putting that to be and being quiet, you know,
mm-hmm.
Have food, but make it so you can consume it and enjoy it on the go and very quietly, then you win, you know?
Yeah. All right. For real, last question. When you guys are taking your oils, how are you packaging them? Are you packaging it separately yourself and taking it? Or how are you guys taking your oils? You know, like your MCT oil and your coconut oil, or are you mixing that in with what you eat it with prior to leaving?
So I can do some, like for our coffee, because we do butter and coconut oil, I can just mix them together, like pre-put it together. And then put it in a Tupperware. We just, you know, use Tupperware baggies or whatever, you know, is going to be the lightest to make the most sense for packability. Or we can do like a liquid MCT oil. There's a lot of different options. It's just, it kind of comes down to packaging and the way that, you know, you want to get it into your pack, know that it's not going to spill, you know, and or rip open and be a mess in your pack. But, you know, liquid versions, or you can do the actual compressed oil version. It all just depends on, you know, what you prefer and again, how you're packing it. So.
Gotcha. Well, awesome. Well, you guys, I seriously had a blast today. You guys are just so much fun to have on the podcast and talk and laugh and joke and serious as serious gets. You are more than welcome to come hunt Wyoming. You just let me know what you want to hunt, and I'll tell you where and when to apply, and we'll just make it happen, because that would be a blast.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the year to do it, and we need to make a trip out there anyway for, you know, for Maven, and check that out. Make the trek out there. And
it's so beautiful. We went to Yellowstone last year after we did the Total Archery Challenge. Actually, it was before. We went, you know, to Yellowstone and took the kids. And I was just like, Man, if we could pick up and move right now, Wyoming or Montana would be where it's at. So yeah.
There's freaking buffalo running alongside of the Jeep, dude.
I know.
I mean, I've seen buffalo, right? I've seen buffalo. I've never been driving down the road and two reprod rows inside of the woods, there's a freaking 2,000-pound buffalo running. And it's running the same speed as a car. And I looked over and I looked at the boys. Come on. We're not dumb. We know there's going to be some freaking buffalo there, right? Yeah. But we're not to the park yet where the buffalo are going to be laying in the road, right?
Yeah.
And so we're driving down the road, driving down this kind of back road to go and kind of, you know, pitch a tent and camp or whatever. Because we even when we're traveling, we don't really want to stay in hotels. We like to camp, dude. You know, the kids even want to just sleep out in tents out in the yard at our house.
Yep,
you know?
I get it.
So I look over and I'm like, there's just certain things that just, you're like, what in the hell is that? It's like if a spaceship is landing in your backyard, like I've heard of spaceships, right? We've seen them. Why the hell is there a spaceship landing in the yard? And I look over and I look back at Brody, our oldest. And I'm like, dude, there's a freaking buffalo over there and it's running alongside of the car. And he's like, that's so cool. And so we're totally nerded out. We're stopped in the middle of the road. And then this thing just comes out in the middle of the road and there's a buffalo. And so we were like, yep, let's move here. We want to be here.
Yeah. Back when it was, I don't think it's legal anymore, but back when they had the trips through Yellowstone in the winter on snow machines, I don't know if they still do it or not, but we drove literally through the middle of a buffalo herd. Like we could have touched them on snow machines going down.
Wow.
Wow.
It was insane.
That is crazy. How fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. We're stoked to come out there. We'll definitely take you up on that and come out. And the problem is, you know, people invite us to come do stuff like that all the time. And there's a difference between us and a lot of folks. We do it. We will take you up on it. We're movers and shakers. We know exactly how to pack that rig up and go and get our asses on the road. So watch out.
Well, good. Well, like I say, I really appreciate you guys taking your morning and hopping on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us. We had a good time and we'll definitely talk some more backcountry meals for sure.
Yeah, man. You're always fun, dude. Everybody needs to check out Archery Maniacs and I have fun every time we chat.
Thanks, guys.
So if you guys want some more information or have questions on nutrition, I'm more than happy to answer them. You can find me on Instagram at Nutrition Realigned. Or on my personal page, Her Outdoor Journey. I'd love to answer questions and talk nutrition with you guys. You can get on my website as well, nutritionrealigned.com. And I do some personalized nutrition coaching, meal plans, itemized grocery lists, and just make sure that whatever your goals are being achieved in the best way possible and keeping health in mind.
And, you know, that works really well with our fitness training company, Elevation Fitness Training, which is it's a performance-based training system for outdoor athletes. You know, and an outdoor athlete is a very broad spectrum of person who uses their body in a functional manner to be successful in whatever it is that they're doing. You know, we happen to cater a very high percentage, you know, most, let's say probably 85 to 90% to hunters, you know, and that's not just bow hunters or gun hunters or whatever, but we've even got, you know, backcountry pack fishermen who will hike 10 miles and, you know, stay 3 days to fly fish, you know, and they'll live on a little bit of food that they take and the fish that they catch. So, you know, whether you're a hunter, hiker, any kind of endurance athlete, we have mountain bike racers, we've all kinds of stuff. Or if you just really want to be more functional when you hike, you know, that's what we cater to. We do very personalized, custom built training programs. ElevationFitnessTraining.com. Instagram is Elevation Fitness Training. You can find me at HuntFit_08 on Instagram, and we can answer any questions that you have, get you set up with a, you know, a very personalized, this isn't a one size fits all or spin the wheel and hope you get something that works for today. This is a very intimate relationship when it comes to training, and we love working with people, and it's an online training platform, and we're having a lot of fun with it and changing a lot of lives and learning a lot ourselves. So you can find us, like I said, elevationfitnesstraining.com or nutritionrealign.com for any of that nutrition needs. We'll be happy to help.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for hopping on the show.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lampers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.